Well, hi, listeners. This is Carol Topp. Welcome back to another episode of the Dollars and Cents Show podcast, where we are continuing to focus on homeschool leaders, leaders of homeschool co-ops and other types of homeschool organizations. I'm going to start with a question I was emailed from a person, a woman, and she said, my friend and I want to start a homeschool co-op together. Are there any pitfalls to watch out for? Oh, that's a great question because, you know, in general, I think undertaking a homeschool co-op is not something that should be done alone. In my book, Homeschool Co-ops, How to Start Them, Run Them, and Not Burn Out, I talk about the need for having a group of people to run a homeschool co-op so that none of you burn out. Because if it's all done on one person, that's really too much to carry. So I really like the idea of this woman starting a homeschool co-op with somebody else to help her out. But yes, there are pitfalls to watch out for and avoid. So let me share a few of those. The first thing is this woman and her friend need to decide if they're running their homeschool co-op as a business or as a not-for-profit. Now, when I first started advising homeschool leaders, probably about 10 years ago on my website, Homeschool CPA, I just assumed that all homeschool co-ops would be run as nonprofit organizations, meaning there was a group, a board that ran it, nobody owned it, it had a perpetual life beyond the people who started it, and things like that. But now there's quite a few homeschool type organizations that are started as for-profit businesses. So I've had to start with that basic question when people come and ask for my opinion or advice and say, well, do you want to run it as a for-profit business or a not-for-profit organization? That's the first thing they're going to have to decide. And I can help them think through that. It kind of depends on, obviously, whether their motive is profit or not. And so related to that question is, if you want to run this as a business, will the business have one owner or will these two friends start a business partnership? And that's a really important decision to make. Very, very important. Because if you're going to run a partnership, there's a lot of talking you need to do and a lot of hard questions and things that need to be discussed. Because when you run a business partnership, it is like being married, except you're not in love with the other person. A business partnership means that that other person in the partnership can obligate you to debts. They can go out there with a business credit card and start racking up expenses, and they don't have to check it in with you because they're as much an owner as you are. It means that you are then responsible for the debts that they owe. It means that if the partnership says this is a 50-50 split, which I rarely recommend, hardly anything is truly 50-50, it means that even if they're not able to do their work or carry their load, they're still entitled to 50% of the profits. So I see a lot of potential problems with business partnerships. And in general, I do not like business partnerships. I do not encourage people to start business partnerships. And for the most part, most CPAs are very tentative to advise people to start a business with a partner. I say that the only time I think you should enter into a business partnership is if you are a doctor, an accountant, or a lawyer who can afford to hire an accountant and a lawyer. Because business partnerships are legal agreements and you need to have a written legal agreement. And I joke that they're like marriage, easy to get into, takes a lawyer to get out of. Okay, so avoid the business partnership if possible, but you still might want to have this friend come along and help. So you might want to consider one of you being the owner and the second person being an advisor or maybe being the first employee or something like that. But in general, when you want to start a project like this with somebody, let's pretend you're not going to start it as a business, but you're going to start it as a not-for-profit. It's really important that you evaluate if your skills complement each other. You shouldn't have the same set of skills. If you're exactly like in your skill set, then you don't need the other person in this startup. Typically, one person in a startup like this is a visionary, and they are goal-oriented, and they have big plans and big visions, and those people need the detail person, the person who kind of is the enforcer And even the person who says, no, we can't do that, or let's focus on what we can accomplish. Dream big dreams, but let's make sure we're being realistic and practical. And the best example I can think of is Walt Disney. Now, Walt Disney was a wonderful visionary. Boy, he had big plans and big ideas and tried things that had never been done before, right? But he had his brother, who was his business partner. His brother was named Roy. And Roy Disney was the detail person. Roy was the enforcer. Roy was the one who said, Walt, we can't do that. Now, obviously, Roy didn't say that to everything because look at all the wonderful things Walt Disney created. But what's kind of interesting is Walt Disney was the front man, the celebrity, the people everybody knew and saw. But Roy worked in the background. But I was in Hollywood a couple years ago, and on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you know, in front of Man's Chinese Theater with all the Hollywood stars, Roy Disney has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame because that's how important he was to the success of his brother Walt Disney. So if you're going to be successful, I encourage you to find somebody who has a set of skills that complement yours. If you're the visionary, get the detail person. If you're the detail person, well, find a visionary or someone who can motivate people or good with people if you're good with numbers and things like that. And one thing you might want to consider doing is taking some personality tests. And there's a lot of them online. They're a lot of fun to take. Enneagrams are one, or the Myers-Briggs. There's a website called Human Metrics, H-U-M-A-N, Human, and then the word metrics, metrics.com, humanmetrics.com. And it's the Myers-Briggs, so the introvert, extrovert, ISTJ kind of stuff. But those are really good personality tests to help you figure out how you're wired and how you think so that you can complement the other person who's starting this homeschool project, this homeschool program with you. So, you know what, it's a really good idea maybe for all your board members. Again, if you have, you know, more than just two people starting it, and I encourage that. I encourage, even if the two people start the homeschool co-op, they should immediately bring on some advisors, whether you're for-profit, but definitely if you're a not-for-profit, you should be run by a board of more than two people. Bring along a few more people, 3 to 5 advisors, and have them all take personality tests so you all understand where each person is coming from. I think that will make for more success in your board meetings, more success making decisions, help you understand the other person, how they think through things, why they seem to be so slow at making decisions because they're careful, or how they can just shoot off the top of their head ideas. I think those things help. So back to the original question, the woman who wanted to start a homeschool co-op with her friend, are there pitfalls to watch out for? Boy, there certainly are. Make sure you get good advice on whether you should start as a not-for-profit or a for-profit entity. And that's something I can help with. You can contact me at carol@homeschoolcpa.com and we can set up a phone consultation where we can hash out, well, how do you want to structure this business? If you run it as a business, a for-profit business, should it be a partnership, or how can we do this? And I can just explain, you know, how businesses operate if you've never done that before. Or if, obviously, if you want to run it as a not-for-profit, then my book on homeschool co-ops, how to start them, run them, and not burn out could be really helpful to you in starting this. And again, watch out that you're picking someone you can get along with, that you can handle conflict well, and understanding your skills, how they match, and also understanding how your personalities match. Those will all be really helpful when you start this new undertaking. Well, I wish you all the best. I do so admire all of you who are starting homeschool programs, who are running them, who are helping parents be successful at homeschooling their children. Kudos to you. I'm sure you are never appreciated or thanked enough for all the hard work that you do. I hope this podcast has been helpful. And if you need more information, hop on over to homeschoolcpa.com. You'll find blog posts and, hey, more episodes of this podcast that will help you be successful in whatever you try to do next in your homeschool program. Thanks, everybody.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.